Okay, Shalom Aleichem, Rabbeisai. We are in Chavis Halvavis Shal Yuchad Amaisa Perakei in the paragraph that starts Ach Intira LeKabel Al Atzmecha. And we've been elaborating on this first sentence for the last few days. But the Chavis Halvavis says, on the one hand, don't look to originate in Yiddishkeit, don't reinvent wheels, don't go reopening things that have already been discussed by the Kadmoinim. Realize that we have enough of a tafkid in living up to the standards of Yiddishkeit that have been passed down to us all the way through the Doiris until the great Gedolim of our times, the Dor before us. Reinventing the wheel is an escape. It's really an escape from the real work. People go back and, you know, go straight back to the sources, and certainly it's a hara and wanting to feel like I'm originating. But there's so much to do in terms of just living up to what the Doris laid down for us. And realize that they worked it out very well. You know, if you're going to suddenly decide, you know better than this, you know better than that, you may just find yourself in a very weird path that's going to get you to very dubious places, or even worse. But then he went on and said, but don't understand from this that there's no room for you deciding on your own personal anhagas, on your own personal pious practices, as long as they're not conflicting, they're coming from a pure place, and they're not conflicting with what came before us. And he says, on the contrary, this is certainly part of leading a life of dedication to Hashem, is that you don't just make a point of sticking to basic halacha. What do I have to do? And other than that, leave me alone. But on the contrary, you're looking to enhance things. And here there is certainly is room for personal expression, etc. And he says, on the contrary, Chazal told us to do this in a few different manners. So first of all, they said, Vasus Yog LaTorah, and we discussed. Chachamim laid down various gzeiras, but as we discussed, they limited their gzeiras to things that they felt they could impose on all of Klal Yisrael for all of history. There may have been things that they would say it's really kedai to do X, Y, Z, you know, as a geder, as a siyag, but we're not going to impose that on Klal Yisrael for all the doiras. So therefore, the fact that Chazal did not prohibit something, but you feel that it gets you too close to the danger zone. Don't say, well, if, you wouldn't necessarily say, well, if Chazal didn't prohibit it, then it's inappropriate for me not to do it. No, it's not true. It's not true. Chazal laid down a very basic level of safeguarding. And if you feel that something gets you too close to, a person might decide, walking into a certain store places me in Nisai. Places me in Nisai. What? I'm going to decide I shouldn't do that? Is that appropriate? Like, I'm going to be inventing Yisurim? The answer is yes. The answer is yes. Asus Yog LaTorah means that if you sense you have a struggle in a certain area and you decide you're going to define for yourself a certain geder, a certain siyog, on the contrary, you'll be rewarded for that. And that is a cum of the mitzvah of Yerush Shamayim. You're actually being Mekayim Yedera Aisa by doing that. To Kim of the Mitzvah Yerush Shamayim. The Amru. Chazal also sem nipnei ma'achor v'yushalayim al shemidu divrei maldin Torah. Also in other areas of Torah, as we're going to discuss, this is not just about siyagim. We are meant in many areas of Torah to take, the, so to speak, to take the ball and run with it. Like the Torah, when we see enough mitzvahs along the lines of compassion and chesed, we're already meant to understand that this is a value that the Torah wants you to be living with, and don't just do it exactly according to where the chiyuv is nageya, right? Go. Enhance chesed, you know. And therefore, one of the reasons the Yerushalayim was destroyed was because of the fact that they reached a place of, if I have to do it, I do it. If I don't have to do it, I don't. They wouldn't do because are very interesting. You see this expressed in a few different ways. There's din. Lifnim Yishuv HaSadin is something you're not mechuyev to do, right? But you are mechuyev to be doing lifnei mishurat hadin. There's a certain paradox here, but it isn't really a paradox at all. Hashem provides a basis, but part of what Hashem wants from you is to grow, is to show dedication. That by definition means going beyond the letter of the law. Just what? What do we mean when we say that if it's a lifnei mishurat hadin, you don't need to do it? What that means is Hashem here, halacha is not coming and telling you this yes and this not. But a person, as we're going to see momentarily, a person whose life has absolutely no lifnei mishurat hadin is definitely living a life of lack in ruchnius. V'amru, Amar Avuna. Avuna said, "Kol ha'isak b'Torah bilvad deva k'mishen le'eleah." A person who's only engaged in Torah, it's like he has no eleikah. Chas v'shalom. Oh, that's right. Right. Shenema yomim rabim liyisol eloi eleikei emes. Ela b'Torah v'gmilus chasadim. A person has to be involved in gmilus chasadim. Again, gmilus chasadim, almost by definition, not exactly, but almost by definition, is things that you're not mechuyev to do. Chesed is kindness. It's things that you're not mechuyev. You're mechuyev to be involved in a reasonable level of things that you're not mechuyev to do. Each person lefi madrigosa. Did I confuse with you? You get what I'm saying?
You have a choice of which chesed you're going to do.
That's right.
You don't have to do every chesed that comes up, but in the course of a certain amount of time, you have to do some chesed.
This is exactly our point. Every act of chesed is an act that you don't necessarily have to do. But if you never did an act of chesed, then you're certainly being over on, well, if you want, according to the Ramban, it's Kedoshim Tiyu, if the Mishu Yassisa Shavat Toi, what's that? That's right. It's a tricky concept, but it's clear enough. It's a tricky concept, but it's clear enough. Meaning Hashem says, up till here is uniform. Everybody's got to be doing this no matter what. No two ways about it. If you reform, you still have to. But now, the lifnei mishurat hadin, Hashem says, here I don't tell you what to do, but you have a chiyuv to choose. You have a chiyuv to, yes, be involved with things that are beyond what you have to do. A paradox, but an understandable paradox. The idea is very clear. Part of what Hashem wants from you is dedication. You know what? I'll give you an interesting example of this. Another famous kasha. Hashem held Har Sinai over the Jewish people, right? Imlav shamtei kvuraschem. So already Tosfos says, this is a famous kasha that everybody's dealing with. They said, Nazav Nishma. Why do you need to hold a mountain over them? Right? So the Maharal says, Hashem wanted two things out of the Jewish people. Yes, it's very, very great that they expressed that dedication. And that's what their greatness was. But at the same time, Hashem wanted it to be clear that you must understand, a fundamental part of accepting the Torah is the understanding that there really is no choice. So how do you do that, right? That on the one hand, they're doing it out of their own goodwill, but with the understanding that there's no choice. So that's what Hashem waited to see. They'll do it. But a very important part of Hashkafa was if they would have gone into Kabbalah Torah with the understanding that we did it out of our own goodwill, we could have not. That would be a certain lack in their Kabbalah Torah. After they said Nasa Venishma, then Hashem showed them, here, you have to take this Torah because otherwise Shem take for Aschem. That's how the Maharal explains it. It's a very fundamental point. That's kind of what we're saying here also. Part of what Hashem wants from you is dedication that you chose. And you're obligated to do that. How do we do that exactly? And that's the pshat. Hashem gives you shuras hadin. He says, beyond here, you choose. Here, already we do believe in picking and choosing. This is already the level we do believe in picking and choosing, right? Not in the level of shuras hadin, but only if nimi shuras hadin. And your madrig is going to be defined by, according to your, each person, according to his abilities, etc., how much did you choose in that realm? So listen to how he says it. One of the Hasidim said, "Mishe ein loy toisefes, ein loy choiva." A person who is not doing more than required is not doing what is required. You hear that? Okay. Veina toisefes miskabeles acheti parah choiva. But your additions are not worth anything unless the choiva is completely fulfilled. Okay. I'll give you an example of what the Rabbi Avraham Palm said. There's a siman in the Gemara, Tachas Nesina Yishalim Kesef. It's a siman of different dinim above a kama. So Rabbi Palm said that actually holds an important message. Tachas Nesina Yishalim Kesef. Sometimes you'll see a person who's got his name up on buildings. When it comes to people trying to collect their debts from him, he really puts them through Gehenna, right? It's Tachas Nesina, instead of giving big contributions, Yishalim Kesef, pay what you need to pay, right? So that's the point here. Make sure that the Choiva is in its place. Sorry, you keep hearing these things because I can't turn off the sound because we're on Zoom. Okay. Make sure the Choiva is in its place. Then your Tosefes adds a whole added dimension to your whole picture. But if you jump to the Tosefes without the Chayva, then you know, it's not going to be miskabel. You know the story? Kapishnitz Rebbe? To tell you who the Kapishnitz Rebbe is, that the Panovich Rav said, if I were to become a chassid, I would become a Kapishnitz chassid. And Rabbi Aaron Kotler, it was not, if he said the Rebbe, he meant the Kapishnitz Rebbe. This was a man who didn't have a big following, but the stories about him, Mamamish, being read by a Litvak, are very, very inspiring. I'll just tell you one story. You know what? I'll interject with a different story just to give you an idea of why I'm so excited about the stories about him. That his practice was, if he met a secular Jew, he got involved with a secular Jew, he would buy him tefillin. That was his thing. They'd buy him tefillin. And a lot of admirers, not many chassidim, but a lot of admirers, like we said before, Byron Kotler and Panovich Rav were among them. He didn't buy them tefillin. But the he had a lot of admirers. And one of these people, a person we had bought tefillin for, one day came to his house with an air conditioner, which was a great novelty in those days. Came to his house with an air conditioner and a team ready to install it. He had been into the Kapishnitz's house a few times. It was very hot. And the Kapishnitz Rebbe said, "B'shum panim v'oifen, no, he's not taking it." So the person said to him, "Rebbe, if you're not going to accept my gift, I'm going to give back your gift." It was the tefillin. He goes, okay, install it, I'm going to use it. And that's how he got an air conditioner. Okay, but what I wanted to get was this point. There was a maisa where the Kapishnitz Rebbe came knocking at the office of a big veer. He showed up personally. Gvir ushered him in. "Why am I honored with a visit from the Rebbe?" The Rebbe told him, "I'm here because there's a cause that's close to my heart. I want to see if you'll help me out with it." Okay. Sits down and he says, okay, what's the... Tells him about a family who's really struggling. Father is hard pressed to put bread on the table. "I'm trying to help them out." He said, "You know, you didn't have to come. You could have called me to come to you. You didn't have to come to my office." He said, "No, this is something very close to my heart. I wanted to come personally." So he said, "You know, I'm going to give you whatever you want me to give. You name the sum and I'm going to give it." Kapishnitz Rebbe named the sum, pulled out a check. Those are the sum. I said, "Who do I make it out to?" And the Kapishnitz just stared at him quietly for a minute. And then he said his brother's name, the name of this man, the brother. The man was mortified. But this is the point, right? What was the point? What's behind this story? Imein chayva in Tosefes, right? Imein chayva in Tosefes. Before doing great things, make sure you're doing your basics. Otherwise, they don't have a leg to stand on. So what are we saying here? This is one of those classic lines in Chayva Salvav. It's good to memorize. Misha ein loy Tosefes, ein loy chayva. Ve'ena Tosefes miskabeles ad she'tipora ha'chayva. Okay, that's one of those lines. If you have a collection of the classic lines from Chovei Salvavos. Again, in English, if you're not doing beyond your duty, you aren't fulfilling your duty. But the beyond, the additions, the extra, is not going to be accepted until your duty is being done. Ukvar hitivu lanu, and Chazal did permit us. Lechivu esanu, and they required us, this naheg b'toisefes ha-mitzvahs, to enhance mitzvahs, to add to them. This will get confusing. What's with Bal Toisif? Okay. And if you use the word enhance, you'll understand where it is distinguished from Bal Toisif. Okay. Like they said, Moisifin Michol al HaKodesh, right? Before and after Shabbos. You know, the mice, there was a mice with Rav Steinman that they, someone was talking to him about, I forgot exactly, he was making the cheshbin of 40 minutes to 43 minutes, like exactly how you cheshbin shkia, etc. Rav Steinman said to him, I don't understand. It says that the Rishonim only go back into Gehenim after Shabbos. When is after Shabbos? Whenever you ended Shabbos. Why would you want to end 3 minutes earlier? Okay. Right? When it comes to fasting, he's talking about taking on personal fasts. It's not for us, but in concept we understand. This takes on personal tshuva campaigns, right? Tefillah, certainly, added tefillah. Add your own tefillahs to Hashem. Tzedakah. To realize that talking to Hashem is not a breast liver concept. I'm saying that not as a joke, because I saw somebody write something about that. It's not for people like us. It's not for people like us. The Chafetz Chaim did it. We don't learn from that. Breast liver, they have this mishigas. I'm not saying, I want to just, the koyach keep people away from Hashem. It's definitely for people like us. Add your own tefillahs to Hashem. Make a habit out of talking to Hashem. The Chazon Ish once told somebody, what said he has, that he wanted to further his emuna. And you want to further his emuna, you want to further your emuna, have short conversations with Hashem. With everything going on in life, involve him. You're going to the store. You're looking for a certain product. Tell Hashem, help me find this product. Right? Little things. Talk to him. It's not inappropriate at all. Ubitzdaka. Right? And not to overindulge in food, even in the realm of mutter. That we spoke about this. We don't have to be oisik in precious as an abstinence, as in living an austere life. But we should not be living a life of simply being sunken in indulgence. Okay, that deserves more elaboration. They warned us not to make a shvua, even if it's true. This is certainly something you're allowed to do, but that's a pious practice. Right? It's a pious practice. Say, I don't make shvuas, even though I'm allowed to. It's emes, I'm allowed to, but that's a pious recommended practice, not mechuyif. Also, to talk less, not to talk too much. Even if it doesn't actually contain Yisur. We spoke about this also. Now, so one of the big challenges of Lashon Hara is the fact that we are so used to whatever thoughts come to mind, we express. So Mamela, in a few instances, we really have to hold it back. We just don't, those muscles aren't exercised. But it's a good practice. Therefore, we're encouraged. Practice not talking. I'll just end with this, that the Rav Paul Shapira was the father-in-law of Rav Chaim Soloveitchik. He was a great man, surrounded by great men, but there were powerhouses all around him. His father-in-law was the Netziv, his son-in-law was Rav Chaim. It was on all sides. He was in the thick of Volozhin. He was a very quiet person, surrounded by very outspoken people. So he said once, people think that I don't speak because I don't have what to say, but the truth is that I don't speak because I know how to keep quiet. Something to think about. Okay, good night. We'll stop here. Shabbos. Thank you.